You're listening to Three Kitchens Podcast, hosted by Aaron Walker and Heather Dyer.
We're on a mission to inspire other home cooks just like us to be brave and try something new. Let's learn to cook better and eat great food. So, hello and welcome to today's episode of Three Kitchens Podcast. I'm Aaron Walker, and I am joined by Heather Dyer.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
This is a fun one because
the positive vibes that we sent out into the universe came back to us on this one.
That's what I was going to say. It's like we manifested this. You know, sometimes it just works out where we were like working on something. You were making that lentil soup last week, which was fantastic. It's not that it didn't work out or anything. But we had questions.
So many unknowns.
Not always sure what to look for with lentils and things like this. Mm-hmm. And then we said, if anybody out there knows something about it,
let's connect. Somebody teach us.
And lo and behold, we found the perfect guest.
Yes.
To teach us all a little bit about pulses, how they're grown, and how to cook with them.
Yeah. And all the positive things that they do for our bodies and for the environment that they grow in. I am so excited about pulses now. Like, I feel like I'm telling everybody about it since we've talked to Deborah.
If you're listening and you're like, what are they talking about? A pulse is field peas, dry beans, lentils, and chickpeas. They are the edible seeds of legumes.
Yes.
They're grown for food and feed around the world in Canada. I mean, we're talking today about primarily Alberta, but Canada, many parts of Canada grow these crops.
Yeah.
Our guest, Deborah McLennan, the food and nutrition coordinator from the Alberta Pulse Growers Commission. She is here with us today to tell us all about it, all about how farmers grow these crops, how they're harvested and processed, what to look for when you're shopping, and then
how to cook with them.
And baking, our new favorite thing.
So much you can do with pulses. It is so simple to do, and it adds great stuff to your diet.
And it's inexpensive, which we can all appreciate at this time when our grocery bills are through the roof. So inexpensive source of protein and fiber and other nutrients, which is great for my little cholesterol heart. And all of us, good for all of us. So without further ado,
please join us.
Let's bring in Deborah. Oh, and don't forget to go and follow Alberta Pulse Growers. Check out their website. There's awesome recipes there.
If you didn't know anything or you're curious and you'd like to know more, you're going to love it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Deborah, for joining us. We're really happy to have you here on the podcast with us. Can we start big picture? What are pulses? What are we talking about?
So pulses are part of the legume family, and I think most people are familiar with the term legume. So a legume is a plant that produces pods with seeds. Okay, so if you think of legumes, it includes peanuts and soybeans. They're considered legumes, but not pulses, because although lots of protein, they do contain fat.
Okay.
They're a legume, but not a pulse. If you think of garden peas, or like yellow beans or green beans, those are also considered a legume, because peas, you kind of know, right? You split open the pod and you see the peas in there, the green peas. Beans, you might not think about it, but when I was a kid, I used to split open the yellow beans and the green beans, and there are little seeds in there, but they're harvested, what we call, they're harvested fresh. And so lots of, you know, fiber, vitamins, minerals, that type of thing, but not super high in protein. So again, a legume, but not a pulse. So pulses are harvested dry, and it's the dry edible seed of a pod plant. They are planted in the spring, and when they're sufficiently dry in the field, they're harvested dry, and then the farmers take them to their local grain elevator, where then they go many different routes. So pulses include what we call here in Alberta field peas. So those are those green and yellow split peas that you see in the stores, or, you know, we're quite well known for our green pea soup here in Alberta. Lentils, red and green lentils, are what we grow in Alberta, but any kind of lentil is considered a pulse. Dry beans, So pinto beans, black beans, kidney beans, Great Northern beans, that type of thing. Here in Alberta, we grow pinto beans, black beans, and Great Northern beans are the ones you'll see in the store. We
Okay.
also produce a yellow bean called a Mayakoba, or and another one is a small red. Those are produced primarily for export. You actually don't see them on the store shelves here, but they are grown for export to other countries because there's a demand for those. And then chickpeas are also considered to be a pulse. We grow a few here in southern Alberta. They require a lot of sun and a really long period for growing. And
Okay.
then faba beans. We call them faba in Canada, but also known as fava. They are also considered a pulse. So if it's harvested dry, high in protein, high in fiber, low in fat, then it's considered a pulse.
Okay, so they actually dry on the plant before they're harvested.
Yes, lots of people think they're harvested, like you'd go out in your garden and you'd pick your peas and they go someplace to dry. No, they dry in the field. So pulses are the first crop usually planted in the spring and one of the first that's harvested in the fall. And farmers are monitoring to see when they hit that right amount of moisture in them, which is very little, then
Right.
they will go ahead and harvest them. You
Huh.
know, people say, well, gee, I've never seen a pulse crop. If you're driving along, let's say in July or August, and you see a crop that's kind of brown and yellowy and looking like dead in the field, that's most likely a pulse crop. In the spring, it looks just like garden peas or beautiful green. They've got the tendrils that all link together. It's got these beautiful, you know, pretty flowers on it. Then the pods form, then they fill out. But then as the season progresses, the longer you leave them, then they start to dry and they'll turn
Okay.
from bright green and then they start to slowly turn yellow and then they go that tanny, yellowy sort of dried out color. And then, yeah, so that's what our farmers are looking for. And then they will monitor their fields and pick a few pods just to see are they rattling around in the pod. And they want to make sure that when they're harvesting, like the pod will split open, but it doesn't damage the seeds inside. Yeah, so no, they do, they dry in the field.
And so then when they harvest them, does the grower remove the seeds, the beans, the pulse from in the pod, or does that happen at the processing
No,
plant?
that happens at harvest. So the equipment that that our farmers use, the combines that they use will split as they harvest the pulse crop. The pods, because it's dry, they split open super easy, and then it's very easy to separate the pulses from the chaff. And then if you see the combine going by, it feeds the peas into the combine itself, but then it will spit out the chaff.
That's
Very
very
cool.
cool. So then
Yeah.
that leftover plant material, is that something that can just be reworked into the soil and then sort of reused? Or is there like a product that they can then?
No,
No, okay.
they will leave that on the ground to protect the soil, to keep the moisture in there, protect it from wind erosion. And again, those materials, as they start to break down, they feed back into the soil as well.
Cool, cool.
Smart. It's like its own mulch.
Yeah, well, and pulses are well known for their ability to fix nitrogen. Pulses, what they'll do is they can take atmospheric nitrogen and they have a symbiotic relationship with soil bacteria to take that nitrogen and fix it into a form of nitrogen that the plant can use as its own fertilizer.
Ah, cool.
Then after harvest, those nitrogen-rich residues are left behind in the soil. So it actually improves the soil, improves the biodiversity. So if you rotate your crops around, you can take advantage of that. But pulses typically have a really beneficial effect for improving soil quality and enhancing the crop rotation cycle on the farm. So we really encourage farmers to include pulses as part of their crop rotation because of that.
Right.
There you go, some science for you.
I'm here
We
for
like
it.
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
How much production of pulses are we talking about here in this province? Is there a percentage of the agricultural production or?
Here in Alberta, we have, I would say, we average between 1.8 to 2 million acres of pulses per year. It's a smaller crop compared to something like wheat or canola. But because of their ability to fix nitrogen, it's also considered a cash crop. So prices are pretty good for pulses. So from a farming perspective, it's a really nice crop to include in your rotation. So Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Ontario, a little bit in Quebec, are the primary pulse producers. Each
Okay.
province grows a different slightly different variety. So Saskatchewan grows a lot of lentils, a lot of peas, and then some beans and chickpeas. Manitoba soybeans, they'll do some peas as well as a few beans. And then Ontario is primarily beans, especially kidney beans. I mean, it's not a huge crop in Canada, but it is an important crop promoting, healthy, sustainable cropping systems.
Absolutely. When we go to the store, we see either dried lentils or we see canned lentils. What are the benefits or drawbacks of buying sort of either one of those?
Well, as a dietitian, I'll speak from that perspective. From a nutrition standpoint, there isn't really any difference between the two other than convenience. So the canned product, all they've done is they've taken the dry pulses and they've cooked them and they put them in a can. So all you have to do as a consumer is you take that can, you crack it open, drain and rinse it, and it saves you that time of soaking and cooking. But nutritionally, there's no difference between the two. Cost perspective, there's a little bit of a difference, right? So canned product, does cost more than the dry. But again, if you compare, a plant-based source of protein, which is what pulses provide, they're still a cost effective. The dry one, once you get used to it, so lentils don't need to be soaked. A whole lentil, so like a whole red lentil or a whole green lentil, can take anywhere from, 15 to 25 minutes to cook. You just rinse it, throw it in a pot with a bunch of water, and then put it on the stove and away you go. A split lentil, 5 to 7 minutes. If you want it mushy, for an application where you're going to puree it and add it to things, then you might just cook it a little bit longer. Split pea doesn't need to be soaked, and they'll take maybe 30 minutes to cook. Now, your whole peas, beans, chickpeas, and fava beans all need to be, they don't need to be, they should be soaked ahead of time. You soak them either overnight. You can do a quick soak that just starts the process of them taking on water to rehydrate. Drain and rinse, and then again, put it into a pot. Add water to they're covered by at least an inch. Bring it to a boil, and beans can take anywhere from 40 to 45 minutes. Chickpeas maybe an hour or so. So again, it's just, you're not going to come home from work and say, oh, I'm going to make chickpea stir fry. And all you have is dry chickpeas and you're home at 5, you're probably not going to do that. But you could take like a can of chickpeas, drain and rinse, and away you go. Right. So I think it just depends on, I would say people usually start with a canned pulse and figure out the recipes and how they all work. And then they're like, okay, well, now I'm comfortable with this. I think I'm going to start working more with dry. So I always tell people, if you're going to do it from dry, cook up a batch ahead of time, and then you can freeze them. And then you can pull it out and use it whenever you need them, right? So, let's say cook up a batch of chickpeas or cook up a batch of beans, take out what you need, and then the rest, pat them dry, put them in an airtight freezer bag or airtight container, and then, freeze it in a half cup or 1 cup portion, and then you can pull them out whenever you need them.
Great idea.
Yeah.
That is a fantastic idea. You have to plan ahead, right?
Yeah, you do.
Either I haven't planned ahead enough or I plan ahead too early and they sit in the fridge in the water for like 2 or 3 days before I'm like, okay, I gotta move on these beans.
Well, and some people will freeze them in the water as well. I haven't tried that one, but I know there are some that do, and they turn out really nice. The other interesting thing is if you're working with dry, as you're cooking those beans or those chickpeas, you could add like a bay leaf to the water, or you could add like a clove of garlic or an onion, or you can add some spices to that to infuse that flavor into those pulses, depending on what it is that you want to do. We don't recommend adding salt to the cooking liquid because it does tend to slow down that process of getting your beans to be, your beans or your chickpeas to that nice soft texture. I know we've got some research coming out right now that shows if you add salt to the soaking liquid, it does seem to enhance the cooking of the beans in terms of the texture and the flavor. But again, we're still working on that research. But
What fun research to do.
yeah, well, that's the kind of research we like to do. Yeah,
I
exactly.
love it. Sounds fun. So how long does it last in my pantry, that bag of lentils that I've got in there? Because I'm more likely to use a can. I'm a fly by the seat of my pants for dinner or don't know what I'm making till I'm making it. So I would pull out a can. But I do have a bag of dry lentils in the cupboard. How long does that keep?
Well, theoretically, pulses can keep for an extremely long period of time because there's very little moisture in there, so they're not going to go bad. You'll notice on the bags nowadays, they do have an expiration date or like a best before date. And it's only because pulses, when they're exposed to air, do continue to dry.
Oh.
So ideally, what we tell people is if you can use them up within a year, then at
Ooh.
least you know they're still going to take on water and they will get to the texture that you want. The longer you keep them, the drier they become. It's harder to predict whether or not they're going to soften and get to that point. Now, what you could be doing is the bags. I can't say for certain how airtight the bags are, but ideally, if you can store your dry pulses in an airtight kind of container of some sort away from light, that certainly will help maintain the freshness of them, so to speak. They will fade over time if they're exposed to light, but that doesn't affect their nutritional quality. And same with them drying. It doesn't affect the nutritional quality. It's just more appearance and the texture
And the
is
cooking
and the
time,
cooking time.
right? Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. So, on the other side of freshness, if I'm going to the store and I'm picking up a bag of dried lentils, how long since they were in the field?
How long did they sit at the grocery store?
How long from like point of harvest to like when it arrives at the grocery store?
Well, once the farmer harvests his or her pulses, they may store them for a period of time on the farm. Once it gets to the elevator, from there, then it's shipped out to, now here in Alberta, we don't do that secondary processing to put it into those bags, which is why you don't see Product of Alberta on bags
Okay.
of pulses. From the time then that it leaves, let's say Alberta, goes to the company that is going to be doing the packaging, it's usually fairly quick. It's not like they sit around. You know, the elevators don't want them sitting around. And then once they're packaged and go back to the store, I don't have numbers to tell you exactly how long that
Yeah.
is. I think it's very accurate to look at that best before date on that bag to
Okay.
ascertain. I mean, I would say if you're going to the store now and it's telling you April 2025, the chances are it's been pretty quick since they've been packaged and now they're shipped back.
Okay, cool.
That would be my assumption. I have no data to back that up, but that would be my logical assumption of, you know, how the supply chain works for pulses.
And knowing the season, right? Like we know that it's a summer crop, like pretty much everything here, and then it's probably packaged sometime between October and January, maybe somewhere in there, right?
Well, and farmers are, you know, they can be selling throughout the year. So that's where, you know, companies can be getting supply throughout the year. But again, it just depends. It depends on the year, depends on the farming cycle.
So how do I know if I'm looking at a recipe that's for lentils, let's say, or I've decided I have a way I want to incorporate it into what I'm doing, is there a reason to choose based on the colors? Is there a reason to choose a red lentil versus a green lentil or a yellow lentil? Is there a difference?
The difference would be depending on what the texture is that you want in there.
Okay.
So, for example, a red split lentil, which is those pretty little orange ones, right? And they're kind of teeny weeny. When a pulse is split, they remove the outer hull, and now
Okay.
you just have sort of that inner part of the pulse. That's why they cook faster, but they also, the texture changes with it. So with a red split lentil, as you cook it, it turns a dull yellow and it goes to mush very quickly. So a red split lentil is great for applications where you want to puree it and add it to baking. Let's say you want to thicken a soup, you want to thicken a stew, you want to thicken something in there where you want to add that. Lentils are perfect. They're pretty flavor neutral. They add that extra fiber in there. They add the extra protein. But now you're getting that because pulses have a wonderful blend of complex carbohydrates and starches in there along with fiber that provide that thickening. So that's a great application for, you know, a red split lentil. Now, if you wanted to do lentils in a salad, and let's say you want to roast them, a red split lentil is probably not the best one because by the time you cook it, you have to be really careful so it's not starting to break down, you know, like break apart on you. So that's where like a whole red lentil or a whole green lentil or a whole yellow or brown, whichever one, it still has the hull on it. So it's going to retain its shape. So where you
Okay.
have like a roasted lentil with some spices, a little bit of oil, and have it as a crouton on a soup or as like a almost like a crouton on a salad, you want something that still has the husk or the skin on it so it maintains that shape. Same with peas, right? So when you make pea soup and you use a split pea, they will, as they cook, because we've removed that hull, they will start to soften and they'll go nice nice and mushy, which is kind of how we like them to do. And again, you could use those as well for thickening. But, you know, a whole pea or a whole bean or a whole chickpea, if you want to roast it, or if it's something where you want that texture in the chili, in the soup, in the stew, then you want something that still has that hull on it.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
I've never heard of roasting lentils. And when you said that, you probably, I was like, ooh, I want to do that. That sounds...
They go pretty small compared to like a roasted chickpea, but like, it's just something a little bit different. So let's say, a 540 ml can drained and rinsed will give you 2 cups of cooked lentils. So maybe you use 1 cup in a recipe and then you're like, okay, what am I going to do with this other cup? Well, you know what? Pat it dry, toss it with a little bit of oil, and then it could be chili powder, it could be a little bit of cumin, red pepper flakes, something like that. And then put it on a baking sheet with parchment paper, throw it in the oven, anywhere from 350, 375, 400, higher the temperature, watch them. They do shrink up a little bit, but wow, do they ever pack a flavor punch. We've got a recipe for a lime and black pepper flavor. Wow.
Yum. That sounds
delicious.
Well,
you can throw that into a granola if you're making your own granola, or like I say, it's a wonderful topper on a, I just love adding them to salads where I want a little bit of texture.
Perfect.
I'm going to be making this week because I just bought some kale because it looked so good at the store. And I was like, ooh, I want to make a salad with like a nice crunchy, I was going to make a homemade granola with it.
Mix them, like Deborah just said, mix it into your granola. Right?
And I think it's interesting because people only think of roasting chickpeas.
Yeah.
Chickpeas do lend themselves to that because of their size. Mm-hmm. But you can roast beans as well. Like pinto beans roast up really nice. Black beans roast really nice. Like they will all roast really, really well. Just a different flavor and a bit of a different texture. But, you still, again, you're getting that protein and that fiber in another fun format that people may not have thought about. Again, like I say, if you have these extra pulses kicking around, you don't know what to do with them, roast them up. You can put them in an airtight container and, you're looking for that little snacky thing while you're watching TV in the evening. You can pull those out.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like where you'd use breadcrumbs, like on a mac and cheese, something like, I've got all kinds of ideas now.
Roasted lentils would be such a nice crumble on there. Yeah, for sure.
This episode is paid for itself already.
Okay, then I'm fast. I'm doing my job.
Your work is done. The rest is just gravy.
Yeah, here you go.
Okay, well, we're getting into all this food and cooking stuff already, but let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and discuss the recipes that we did make. So join us on the second half. Hey listeners, have you heard of the method of planting corn, beans, and squash together? It's referred to as the Three Sisters and comes from traditional planting practices from Indigenous people here in North America. The corn sprouts first and provides structure for the bean to grow on. The bean, as a legume, is a nitrogen fixer and provides nutrients to the soil. And the squash protects the soil and retains moisture. Together, these three plants mutually support each other's growth. We referenced these explanations from Braiding Sweetgrass by Robin Wall Kimmerer. And if you'd like to read more about it, check out her book. Now, back to the show. We are back talking with Deborah from Alberta Pulse Growers. And now that we know what pulses are, how they're growing them, how they get to our store, you've touched on it a little bit, but maybe let's highlight why we should be eating pulses.
Well, there's a number of different reasons. So from a nutrition standpoint, pulses are an excellent source of plant-based protein. And I know we're seeing more and more people looking for ways to add more plant-based protein into their diets. So pulses can be a really fun, delicious, and affordable way to do that. We are certainly, as Canadians, very low in fiber in our diet. So pulses provide not only that protein, but also fiber. Pulses are also a really great source of iron, folate, potassium, magnesium, and zinc. I mean, there are nutrition powerhouses that are a wonderful way to, again, bump up sort of the nutrient quality of any meal that you add them to. So from a nutrition standpoint, you certainly can't go wrong adding pulses to any of your meals. And we have lots of fun and cool recipes for all of the meals and snacks. Pulses are also a very sustainably grown crop, and they contribute to, promoting positive effects with our soil health. They are, can grow in a number of different climates. For people who are looking for foods that are sustainably grown, pulses can certainly fit that bill, and they don't need a lot of synthetic nitrogen fertilizer. They just have a number of wonderful qualities.
Are pulses indigenous to North America, or were they brought here at some point?
I know a little bit about this, but I'm not going to say I'm the expert. Pulses were brought to Alberta, I think, sometime in the 1980s. I know if you look at history, our indigenous peoples have grown beans as part of, the Three Sisters cropping system that they've used. So there were some beans there, but as a whole, it's a crop that was brought over to North America and has been growing by leaps and bounds ever since.
Yeah, I was just curious. Because when you're talking about sustainability and locally grown, I just wondered for those folks who are interested in eating things that are indigenous to the land here. And I mean, just curious.
I had the same question. Very cool.
Okay, I have a question. Since we're sort of talking about nutrition and preparing them, beans have a reputation, beans in particular, have a reputation of producing a gassy effect when we eat them. Is that real? Aaron was like, maybe it's just in our minds. We just, it's not real. Psychosomatic or something. Is that real? And is there anything we can do when we're preparing these things to minimize that effect on the digestive system?
Well, that is an excellent question, and no, it is not imaginary. The magical fruit, as we like to say, right?
That's right.
You know what? You have to acknowledge the elephant in the room and the bee. So there's a couple of things that are going on and it's not just beans. It seems to be more prevalent with beans, but it can be with all of the pulses. Part of it has to do with fiber. If you don't have a lot of fiber in your diet, you're not consuming a lot of fiber in your diet. As you start to eat more fiber foods, or you do a big overload of fiber in a meal, as it hits your digestive tract, it's going to go, whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. And so, right? So, in those instances, what I suggest to people is that if you are not eating a lot of pulses now, and then tomorrow you decide you're going to eat it 3 times a day, you may want to be staying home for the day because you're not going to be feeling too great. But ideally, you should start introducing them slowly. It has to be a consistent intake. You can't just do it once a week and then expect it to be better. It needs to be something on a fairly regular basis. So, 3, 4 times a week, and then slowly increase the amount. And then that way you'll start to see your body if it's the fiber that's causing the issue. The other thing is that pulses, I talked a little bit about complex carbohydrates. So pulses, the other carbohydrate that you find in there is starch. And it's a healthy starch that is very beneficial to our digestive system. There's a resistant starch and a slowly digestible starch. And both of those starches, same thing. Sometimes, if you haven't been eating pulses and all of a sudden you start eating them, maybe it isn't the fiber, maybe it's just these starches. Your digestive tract is going, whoa, 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 wait a second. This is not, what is this? I'm not really happy with this right now. So again, starting small. And then your body starts to build up that, oh, okay, yes, we're prepared for this starch, we're prepared for this fiber. And then that helps reduce the gas that's formed during digestion in the intestine. The other thing to look at is if you're using canned pulses, you'll notice when you crack open that can, the water's kind of cloudy. That's the starch from the pulses. So for our purposes, drain and rinse those pulses really well. And when I say rinse really well till it's no longer foamy, like when you put it and you run the water and it's kind of foamy. So once that it stops those little bubbles and that foaming, then what you'll find is you've rinsed off that starchy kind of liquid. So that helps to, again, reduce the starch content, which can help with digesting those pulses. The other one is if you work with dry pulses, as you soak your pulses, a little bit of that starch does leach out into the soaking water. I will suggest to people change the soaking liquid often. So don't do the quick soak method, do the overnight soak, and then don't use that soaking liquid. Drain and rinse the soaked pulses, put them in a pot with fresh water. And again, so it's just a way to help reduce some of that starch that's there that potentially could be an issue. That typically will solve the problem or reduce the incidence. It's our bodies adapting to the fiber and the starches.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, okay.
Well, we're all different, right?
Yes, exactly.
Like I personally don't find it that it bothers me really, but my husband complains about it. And so maybe I just need to work them into the rotation more often and maybe it'll get better.
There you go. I think that's some good advice there.
Yeah,
Fun little
for sure.
detail.
Should we talk about what we made?
Yeah.
Yes, I want to hear how you guys made out.
Neither of us had realized you could puree something like a lentil and bake it into a muffin. We were like
No idea.
mind blown. This is amazing. We love them so much. I made an orange cranberry muffin that's on the website, and Erin, you made a
Pumpkin chai.
pumpkin chai. I mean, who knew? We didn't know.
Didn't know, and now I'm just adding blended up lentils into anything that I bake because I've noticed like it fills up my family better. If they're a little bit more filling and a little bit more substance to them, it fills them up, it runs them for longer. I think it's all around good.
And I did not hear the gas complaints from baked goods, so bonus.
That's right.
Well, I'm so glad that you enjoyed working with them. And I mean, if you go to our website, we have umpteen recipes, but I wanted to choose some that I thought people would go, "What? Really? Why would I do that?" And that's exactly the reason why. Yeah, pureed lentils, white beans is the other one you can use in a baking application because the white beans they're flavor neutral, color neutral as well. But they are fantastic to add to a baked good because I don't know if you noticed in those recipes, it helps you reduce the amount of fat that you would add. So the oil or the whatever is a little bit less, but you still have. Like nobody knew, right? Nobody knew there were lentils in those muffins. There's no little chunks in there, nothing like that. But it adds protein. The other thing is it adds fiber, and nobody knows they're getting fiber,
And
right?
everybody
So
needs
exactly. And they're so cost effective. Like it's such a budget-friendly addition to add to a muffin, and it's so easy. And even like if you pureed up that whole, like let's say if it was a can, you pureed the whole can, take out what you need, you can freeze the rest for another time.
Yeah, I
Right?
made a
So
big batch of lentils. I whizzed them up. I put them in the fridge in cans. And as we cooked through the week, I'm going to toss this into the spaghetti sauce that I make up. And then the kids won't even notice. And they didn't even say a thing about it. And they can be a little bit, oh, is this the lentil soup again when I make a lentil soup? But if I just hide them a little bit, they don't say anything. And I mean, we used less meat in there because we had this alternative in there, and it was a great cost saving, and it does nice things to your sauce. It creamies
yeah, exactly. Like it doesn't change the flavor,
No.
but it contributes to that thickening and that texture of it. And the other thing you've hit the nail on the head is that with pulses, there's such a budget-friendly way to extend a recipe. Now it takes your recipe from serving 4 to 6 people, let's say, to maybe 8 to 10. And if it's a can, all it's cost you is like what, 250? Dry, even less. Right. And you can feel good about it because, from a nutrition standpoint, you're adding protein, you're adding fiber, iron, vitamins, minerals. Like it's just, as you can see, I'm very enthusiastic about it.
We love it. Because just the
Yeah.
other day, we were saying, oh my gosh, these kids are, we've got kids who are preteen that are starting to eat more and more. And Heather was saying, I can't make enough at night for there to be leftovers. And so if you add this into your spaghetti sauce now, you can make leftovers, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, the other thing I like about that you said it made more of a creamy texture is to put this into a soup. I have dairy sensitivities, so if it's, but I love a creamed almost anything. This is like, why, body? Why do you not like the cream when I enjoy it so much? So to use like say a white bean, blend it up, make my soup a bit creamy without the dairy that I can't digest. It's like bonus. I love that.
There's so many interesting ways that you can use pulses outside of like beans in a chili or like pea soup.
Hummus is like, yeah.
Hummus is the other one,
Yeah.
right? Like you can make hummus with any kind of bean.
Oh, I hadn't
I
thought of that.
mean, yeah, like it's amazing. I mean, we've got on our
Yeah.
website, we've got a roasted carrot and red lentil dip. We've got a pickled beet and white bean dip, which is like essentially it's a hummus. Oh,
Ooh.
another one. You can add black beans. We have a wonderful black bean brownie recipe.
Oh, yeah, that's always a good one.
Right. So
Yeah.
there's a lot of versatility with pulses. Pulses provide that satiety because of that protein and that fiber and those complex carbohydrates because they digest much slower.
Yes, that's exactly what Erin said. Because I had baked first and I shared with her the orange cranberry muffins. And it's exactly what she said to me was I felt full, but like a good full after I ate it. Like not a heavy full, but like a
No.
satisfied full.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those fully digestible starches, that complex carbs, the protein, the fiber, it's everything in there that gives you that full feeling without recognizing that you're
Yeah.
feeling so full.
And it can be with whatever flavor you like, fruit, chocolate,
Yeah.
whatever it is that, because you can't taste it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Genius.
You can
Genius.
sneak it in there.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this has been really educational. I certainly have learned a lot.
So many questions answered.
Yes.
So
Oh, good.
hungry for more.
Absolutely. And I mean, if listener, if you heard our previous episode where we were like, we don't know what we're talking about with lentils, well, now we feel so much better informed and ready to cook them. Like, I feel like I can gradually work them into the menu so that I don't get the complaints and that we're getting the benefit of it. I'm going to do it right. Thank you very much for that. We encourage everyone to go to the website
Oh,
and we
yes.
will link it. It's in the show notes. Have a look, link to it. It's so many good recipes and tips and just pictures and explanations of the different pulses and such good information. It's a really great website.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I've worked. I'd like to have as much information as I can there, but you can also through our website. I'm the one that gets the questions that come through the website. So if it's a nutrition or, cooking or something like that, yeah, by all means, you can put the question in through the website and I'll get back to you as quick as I can. This is my role with Alberta Pulse Growers is to encourage people to eat more pulses. And if I can answer any questions to make it easier to help overcome some of those little roadblocks or stumbling blocks that we've got, I'm certainly here to help to encourage them to get more of them on their plates.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, I'm just so thankful that you joined us today to share all this information. It certainly inspired me. I think you'll have some more lentil lovers coming up.
It's all good. So look forward to any feedback or questions you guys have, that's for sure.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
And now for the fine print. For links to recipes and many other random things we talked about in this episode, check out the show notes or our website, www.3kitchenspodcast.com. Join us on Instagram, Facebook, Threads, YouTube, and TikTok to see what we're cooking up next. And if you love the show, tell a friend. Word of mouth is the number one way people learn about new podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Okay, well, back up here. I'm getting all excited here. Oh my gosh.